Greetings, and welcome to The Thirsty Mage, the podcast that already had enough to keep us entertained to begin with before the great demo drop of 2020. I'm your host, David Lloyd, and tonight we're going to discuss two of those said demos that became available on the Nintendo Switch this past week, Bravely Default 2 and Trails of Cold Steel 3. Joining me tonight are a couple of gentlemen who both must be concerned about the integrity of the fans and their Switch from excessive use, starting with NWR Reviews editor, Jordan Rudick.
So I've started, you're absolutely right about the fans and my Switch use. I've been trying to play a little bit of my DS Lite, but I'll talk about that in a minute. I've also started a change.org petition to change the name of the podcast to either The Bravely Mage or The Thirsty Default, because it seems like this is a game, The Bravely Default is the only game we're going to be talking about, or one of the games we're going to be talking about the most in 2020. So hopefully the two gentlemen on this podcast with me will consider signing that petition. I'll send a link around.
Yeah, well, Square was nice enough to make our last call for last week redundant within about 10 hours. So
yeah, well, that's what we get for having James on the podcast. So frankly, we had it coming.
Yeah, exactly. And our other gentleman on the call, I think he just wishes he had his Switch back, let alone keeping it intact. But he is the co-host of the Talk Nintendo podcast, Mr. Casey Gibson.
Yep. Caitlin is overtaking the old Switch with her Animal Cross play, so it's been tough to squeeze in some time to play other games, but yeah, I probably played more demos this last month than I have like the last 3 years, because normally not a big fan, but too many good RPGs and, you know, not plenty of time, but when I do have the Switch, plenty of time to get into them.
It's funny, this seems to be the trend right now, or maybe becoming the norm, that all these huge RPGs, even known properties that have released on other consoles like Trails of Cold Steel 3, we're getting these huge significant demos, and sometimes demos where they're asking for our feedback, which I absolutely love. I got the survey in my email inbox today for Bravely Default 2 for the demo. And obviously I let them have it, but I'll tell you guys later about feedback I did share. But yeah, I don't know, it's just a funny time. Like if you were on the fence about any of these huge RPGs in 2020, you've got a really good opportunity to figure out whether you're going to make a purchase or not. Like, I kind of love that.
Yeah, it's a great 2020 for RPGs. I don't know if the late year stuff that we're expecting will actually make it or not, but we got some big ones in April. We got these demos coming out. Bravely Default 2 is still supposed to be 2020. On top of that, we've got, Jordan and I were looking at some, Jordan had pointed out some inexpensive eShop titles that were great pickups. I guess just to point a couple out, there was, depending on when you're listening to this, there was a sale for Cosmic Star Heroine and Bastion and Transistor. They were all under $5, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yep.
Yeah, all 80% off. So it's a good year. It's a bad year for everything else in life, but it's a good year to play RPGs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're certainly giving us a reason to, conjure up or create episodes for these games when they're putting all the games on sale. So can't complain about that.
Yeah, you know, I know Square had a sale on, like, you know, Final Fantasy VIII and all sorts of, I think all of the Final Fantasy games pretty much on the Switch were on sale last week. So, yeah, it seems like a lot of companies getting the sales out, I think partially because everyone's at home and, you know, sort of stuck around. So I think some of it might just be a nice, like, hey, guys, here's something to play, you know, and keep people occupied a bit.
I mean, I've got to believe we're going to see more of this, right? Because the way for purchasing physical games is very difficult right now, right? So all the stores that have shipped physical copies to EB Games, Best Buy, Walmart, whatever it is, like, if you're buying them online, fine, but those could get delayed. I imagine a lot of people are just going to be like, hey, I can get the digital version of a game the night before, or I can preload it or whatever, so that it's ready right when I want to start playing in the morning. Like, that's a pretty enticing offer compared to, like, who knows when your physical copy is going to ship for a game, right? So, yeah, I love to see all these games going on sale, but I feel like even with just the AAA games, that as soon as they come out, day and date, a lot of people are going to be maybe opting for digital this time around instead of physical.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too. With Animal Crossing, I'd already decided that, like, I'm going in digital because it's a game, right? You just sort of want to always have on your Switch and not have to switch a card out. But if something like, say, like Xenoblade, when that comes out, May 29th, are we going to be back to normal where you could go to a store and pick that game up? And to me, that's a game I'd rather own physically, you know? So now you're sort of have that decision, like, do I want it at the time of release, you know? Or like you said, am I cool with waiting, you know, potentially a couple weeks? Who knows how long it's going to take for everything to ship still.
I don't mind rounding out my catalog, so if they want to keep throwing stuff on the eShop or on the PlayStation PS Store with all these discounts, I'll just keep increasing that backlog.
Oh, the never ending.
I think it's gonna get worse after this year, right? Because I think we're gonna keep seeing games put on sale. We're gonna keep seeing people like one maybe to stockpile games because they're just at home. They're gonna buy all these games. Maybe they take a little bit longer than they expect to finish. And yeah, at the end of the day, your backlog's gonna grow. The plight we always have, I guess. But there's also the new consoles presumably coming out at the end of this year. And as soon as a new console comes out, your backlog becomes, if you jump in right away, your backlog moves to a previous generation in a way, right? So it's even harder to go back to it, I guess, if you're going to keep going forward. So I was going to say, yeah, the Final Fantasy sale was really cool. We had a bunch of developers and publishers put games on for like 5 cents, 10 cents, a dollar, like we were seeing sales of like 90, 99%. As people were just kind of trying to generously almost give away their games, right? Not trying to make a profit necessarily, but just wanting to give people something to do. So we were seeing kind of a nice thing happening as well on social media. The guys, Thunderful Publishing, they do the Steam World games, Steam World Quest, for example. They were just giving away games. Like you'd fill out a survey or give them your email address or whatever, and they could send you a game. They were giving thousands of games away. So a lot of cool things are happening right now in the midst of a decidedly, very unfortunate kind of global event. So it is nice to see the positivity of it sometimes, too.
Yeah, I've been loving those stories that have been coming out. I don't know if you guys saw, sort of getting away from games, I'll be quick. One of the landlords in, like, the city, in New York City, gave to all his tenants, was like, don't worry about April's rent, it's on me. And mm-hmm. It was just like, help your neighbors if they need anything, it was like,
Casey, I was just reading about that, like a couple hundred, two or 300 tenants or something like that.
And
like,
his name's Mario.
Okay, there. Well, now you brought it back to video games. So good on you. Like, we don't want to get into it too much, but like, yeah, I think you are seeing a lot of the good of humanity, the good of society coming out of this as well. Like, obviously, there's still a lot of problems. We might have a lot of, issues with the way governments are handling things. We are saying a good side of like just individual people making nice choices.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the good of society, I think it's a good time to start talking about the beer.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. Yeah. Well, that's one thing that hasn't dried up, right? Like the beer is still very readily available.
If it dried up, man, then we'd really have some serious problems.
We'd be in trouble. Yeah.
Despite my best efforts.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, Jordan, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, sure. So, in honor of Casey being on the podcast, I decided to go with the definitive number one cola drink, Coca-Cola Classic. I know he's a big fan. With my Coca-Cola Classic, we've been trying to support a lot of the local restaurants, a lot of local smaller places that we really like around our neighborhood. So, like, 3 times in the last 2 weeks, I feel like I'm turning into Casey and Perry always having Wingstop. I've been going to this barbecue place called Hog Shack. It's not a chain or anything
what
like
a great
that.
Name.
It's kind of it's great, yeah, Hog Shack. And, for a barbecue joint, they've got the big kind of pig logo with it and everything, too. Like, it's what you'd want. And so they do St. Louis-style barbecue, which is a little bit sweeter, which I really like. So I've ordered from them, like, 3 times. Last 2 weeks, and I call them today. I give them my name, my phone number, because they got a kind of nice pickup system where they've got these tables kind of in the front of the restaurant, and they're all kind of like numbered, and so you just go to like your station where your food is waiting for you, and you pay on another side of the room. They're a smaller place. They haven't been all that busy lately, so they're offering like 20% off takeout. So I've been just kind of, I'll take the discount, but then I'll tip them 20% to kind of make them whole, right? Because I'm not trying to, like, take advantage of them during this time. on the contrary, I want to support them when not a lot of people are going out to get food necessarily. So yeah, this Hog Shack barbecue place, they're great. You know, love the St. Louis style that they do. Really generous with the size and everything like that. So we had family dinner tonight. We had barbecue. So that was what I had. I had a Coca-Cola Classic. Then I've got another one now, but. Yeah, just kind of shout out to them. You know, shout out to the smaller businesses that are really trying to do their best to keep, you know, stay afloat right now. If you can, if you got a little bit extra money, if you can support them, I think that's really a really good thing to do right now. So, you gotta support your neighbors, right?
Yeah, it's one of the few times I don't feel bad, like, because my biggest thing, like one of my big, probably my biggest expense is always food. Like, I'm a turd when it comes. It's like, oh, like, I don't want to make any food. I just want to pick something up. So it's one of those times where it's like, I don't feel bad at all, you know? Like you said, it's like supporting local business and stuff. Yeah, we have a pizza place we got last night. Actually, I think it was 2 nights ago. And unfortunately, they changed from Pepsi products to Coke products. So I did have a Coke the other day.
Well, my condolences to you.
It was all right. But right now, I got a good old-fashioned H2O. It is, we're recording pretty late, and you know, it's like midnight because someone lives on the West Coast, but, so I just got I had my coffee before, pretty much right before the nap I took, which doesn't make any sense, but yeah.
It seems counterintuitive that you take the coffee before the nap and not after the nap.
Yeah, I probably could have, worked that out better, but oh well.
as long as you don't fall asleep recording with us, I think you're okay.
Yeah, I'm up now. I'm good.
Well, speaking of supporting local breweries, did I say breweries? I meant local businesses.
I was gonna say, speak about supporting local breweries.
Anyone who's listening would believe you on the podcast if you said that. But probably a little Freudian slip there. If you want to support the breweries, you go right ahead.
That's right. I got myself a Quebec, it's the Unibrew picked up. They have a special. Well, they actually had I picked up a 12-pack the last time I went to the grocery store, because who knows the next time I'll get out. So in that 12-pack, they had one of their special, very very dark. It's about as dark as it gets without being an actual black. So this one is it's called the La Resolution, and this is a 10%er. So it's a nice, good old double digit.
Yeah, we're finally
feeling
back
good,
up there.
Baby.
That's attaboy.
Yeah. So the color they call it is brownish black, but it has a bit of like a toffee caramel flavor to it. And it was really good, actually. Like, it was, you could taste the 10%, let me tell you. Mm. And it's won a lot of rewards, too. It's won the World Beer Championship. It was like 2015, 2016, 2017 from the notes I got here. So it is, it's a good one. I'm glad I've got, only got one other one though. So I'm going to have to run out and get a big old jug of it, I guess. But
I was going to say next time.
Yeah, this was a good one.
Get a couple 12 packs,
Yeah.
You might as well stock up while you're there.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I stocked up on a few other things, but next time I go back, I might put a little bit more Unibrew in it.
So you're telling me
this is a good one.
You're the problem why the toilet paper is not to be found. You're hoarding the toilet paper.
No, not hoarding. I've got enough, but definitely not hoarding.
David spent all his toilet paper. You spent all your toilet paper money on beer this week.
Yeah, that's right.
A fair trade-off, I think.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because our toilet paper comes from Quebec as well, so. Supporting our province.
There you go. Well, your province of all the ones in Canada is needing it right now. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we got the highest amount though. Although, to be fair, we are counting presumptive cases, not just confirmed.
That's true.
So it does skew it a little bit, but luckily, I've been watching the numbers and we've been going down the last couple of days. So. Mm.
Yeah, well, don't let's not talk about that with Casey on the podcast, because he's not gonna be very happy to hear that. Yeah,
well, by me isn't too bad.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, because
I think some of the methods we've been, it seems like people are kind of listening, I guess, and being very safe and smart, and it seems like it's starting to pay off, which is good.
Yeah, I think like for where we are, it's there are cases, but nothing too crazy. My sister just started working at a hospital, like 2 weeks before this all happened.
Oh, no.
But like her hospital doesn't have any cases, so it's
okay. That's good.
Yeah, it's not like I feel for my New York homies, you know, like they're like getting bombarded. So
oh, it's brutal there. Yeah, it's brutal.
My parents got out in the nick of time, dude.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Like, yeah. It's funny you think about like all the things we were doing just before this happened, you know, and like, yeah, you could have been in a really bad spot if you moved somewhere, or if you started a new job, or you were just kind of like between jobs or something when this all went down, you know, like it's just really hard to predict what's going to happen, I guess, from week to week, you know, you never know.
Yeah, and it's weird, like my aunt, I think, you know, she's I think like 65, so she's on that like cusp of being like, I mean, I guess 65 is pretty old, you know what I mean? So she's, like, apparently hasn't left the house in, like, a month. Like, hasn't seen anyone in, like, a month, like, afraid to go shopping, you know? It's like, ay, caramba.
Yeah, and I mean, it's good. You want to be safe, but at the same time, like, it takes a toll on you, you know? Like, I think I can speak for all of us, like, people listening, too. Like, I think a lot of us are feeling, like, this trepidation, this anxiety about being at home. Like, yeah, you know, it's fun to be at home. You got your games. You got your streaming services. But at the same time, like, you want to go out, you want to see your friends, you want to see your family, and being restricted like that, like, man, I've been really catching up on a lot of podcasts, actually. It's kind of funny. Like, I've got this backlog of, like, old RFN episodes and Retronauts and stuff like that. I've been just catching up, listening. I've been listening to all our old episodes as well. Casey, I got to thank you and Perry. Like, I've always got Talk Nintendo on when I'm in the car with the kids because you guys are family friendly, right? And so a lot of the other podcasts I listen to, there's a lot of F-bombs flying around. So I don't want to listen to that with my 2.5-year-old who is, you know, copies everything he hears now. Very, very, extremely impressionable. So, and, you know, he's a clever kid. Like, he's, in terms of language, he's really developed pretty fast. So, yeah, anything you say around him, he's going to copy it. He's going to bring it up later. And, yeah, so
then
great to have you guys on.
Daddy's getting in trouble with mommy.
Oh.
Yeah, and let me tell you, when the kids know that they can get you in trouble, they'll take full advantage. Yeah,
little kids, man, they've got no filter, those little sons of guns.
They're very smart, and they can really know how to push your buttons and just get what they want, right? So, yeah, he's kind of at that age right now. He's just figuring it out.
Yeah, my kids let my wife know that I was listening to RFN on the way into work one day. So.
Ooh.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's not RFN. It, on that show, it's mostly just James who's swearing. So.
Yeah, yeah. To be fair, there's only one person.
It's Uncle James again. Yeah,
three quarters of the podcast are safe for work.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you could definitely thank Perry on that one. He was pretty adamant about that early on.
He's a good man.
Well, I guess we'll kick off. We ended last week with Bravely Default. We might as well kick it off this week with Bravely Default 2.
Yeah.
So the demo came out last week, I guess, at this point. And it was pretty neat. Like, it did answer a lot of questions. The demo itself was... we're not really sure what part of the game it will be in, or if it was just specifically made as a demo, because we had access to the four characters already, and they gave us a bunch of jobs that we could play around with and get a feel for. And we saw one of the areas, which wasn't overly big. It was enough just to kind of get an idea of what the art style is going to be like. But Casey, if you wanted to take us through what your initial impressions were playing the demo.
Yeah, I mean, right off the bat, you know, it's got that Bravely Default charm, you know, especially within the music. It has very distinct sound, the series. So, you know, to me, it was super refreshing to get back into that. Visually, you know, yeah, so the game takes place, you know, you got, like, your sort of city area. You can run around in there, and there's a few different points that you could, like, talk to people. You pop out, and then there is a little bit of a open world map. You know, when you're leaving town, you get that first quest. Is like, all right, go here, you know, kill this guy. You know, unlock a new job, right? That's sort of the main quest there. But then you get a side quest to go kill some wolves and get some pelts. And I was like, well, that's what I'm going to do, right? So, you know, first battle, it's like, oh, man. Like, I didn't almost lose, but it wasn't just like a complete pushover, you know, where, you know, hit A a few times and get the dub. So, and I'm pretty sure they say right when you open up, right, it's like, hey, this is tuned, like, pretty difficult, you know, like, have at it. So, I mean, from the battle system, right, I guess the biggest difference is instead of, like, your entire team going at once, you know, as like a, all right, player turn, enemy turn. It's sort of like each individual character, it has like their own, I guess, speed maybe is, I don't know how it actually works out. I feel like Jordan probably went harder into this demo than I did, so you might know that. But yeah, it'll be like, so your one character goes, then the enemy goes, then your other two characters go, you know what I mean? So it is a little different in that regard. But I mean, it is definitely a Bravely Default game. You know, you've got the true and tried Brave and Default, and you know, I thought it felt pretty good. I love mixing and matching the different jobs and unlocking, you know, the different passive abilities, because you know, I was sort of working with like a fire mage or a black mage, I should say, you know, getting, you know, the offensive magic. And then I like changed it, like, oh well, I hit that level max, so I was like, I switched over to white mage just so they could have like an off healer. But then I realized, I forget the job name, but it's like pretty much a knight, right? You're sort of using a shield and a sword, and one of the passive abilities you get is an increased critical attack rating, you know, a percent. So it was one of those like, ooh, I'm gonna actually change my, you know, the black mage who's now training to be a white mage, I'm going to actually change it to this knight role, which is sort of counterintuitive to what I want the character to be, but I want to snag that perk, you know what I mean? So I always love that, and I feel like within Bravely Default, it, you know, I have a lot of fun mixing and matching with that. So I mean, overall, I thought it was pretty good. I know a lot of people were complaining. I know I look forward to getting into what Jordan has to say, but one of I mean, it's a simple fix. I'm sure they will add it. But one of the silliest things was that you could hit the R button to brave, you know, right off the bat, right? Which is nice. But they didn't, like, why not bind default to the L button? You know, you have to scroll through the, you know, and it's not a huge menu, you know what I mean? So it's not like, oh, you're scrolling through, you know, a million different menu text boxes. But it just felt weird that it was like you could press R to brave, like, why can't I just hit L to default real quick?
Okay, so I'm going to answer that question, Casey. It took me a little while to figure it out, but there is a reason. And I'll share my initial impressions too. So the reason they don't bind L to default is because as soon as you hit L, and it would be considering taking the default action, which would end your turn and you would automatically defend. Because of the way the first two games were structured, you could hit L to default, and it would go to the next character. And then when all four characters had selected default, you would get a final confirmation. But the way this game runs, with every character acting kind of independently, if you hit L to default, and that was your action, if you accidentally hit the button, there would be no confirmation, right? It's not going to confirm that you want to default. At least I don't think. There is really a confirmation button. Once you select attack and you select who you're going to attack, it doesn't ask you a final confirmation, right? It just does the action. So I agree with you. I want there to be a button to instantly do default, but I understand why they didn't do it with this combat system. My greater concern is that I don't like the combat system, the way they've shifted from individual characters taking turns to your whole party making a decision about what every individual is going to do, and then having them all kind of play out with a final confirmation. But we'll talk more about the battle mechanics in a little bit. My initial impression, at first glance, like I feel like this is very similar to the 3DS games. It does feel like a Bravely Default game when you look at it. When the music hits you in that desert town environment, it definitely sounds like the classic Revo style, right? Like reminded me a lot of Anchime, right, from Bravely Default 1, from the demo.
That's literally one of my favorite RPG towns of all time.
Oh, for sure. I mean, not only just the look and the design, but the music,
the
fits that theme
too.
So well. Yeah, and I feel like this game already, you know, the demo already off to a good start with a musical theme that really fits the town quite well. You're definitely still getting that pop-up book style, which I had kind of worried might have gone away, but you know, that clearly seems to be brought back here. The characters, the story, it all feels very much like a Bravely Default world, like a Bravely Default game. The combat movement, just moving in the overworld, obviously very different. As soon as you exit the town for the first time, you notice there are enemies on the overworld. This is not a standard random encounter type game. You run into enemies on the overworld, and depending on whether they encounter you or if you strike them from the back, you can either create a preemptive strike where you get to go first, or you can gain everyone gaining one bravely point if you're kind of the first person to act on the overworld, that is. I'm hopeful that the game is good. I enjoyed the demo. I didn't love it. I think there are a lot of small things I would change. But again, I'm really happy that this Octopath and Bravely team seem to have created this system where they release an early demo, ask for players' feedback, and then make changes based on it. I don't think Octopath changed remarkably after they did the survey, but a lot of little things changed that I think did make it better. Just get off this podcast right now, you, with your negativity about that is such a good game. Look at all the support. I wish I had more support on Twitter as everyone else saying, oh, I'm only halfway through. Like, God damn it, just finish the whole thing. It seems that the experience with the Bravely Default 2 demo, a lot of people were kind of in the same boat, I think. I think a lot of people played it and felt that it was a little bit lacking compared to the other two games. So hopefully, if that's the kind of consensus they get from this the survey feedback, we should get some maybe more major changes happening. I'm really hopeful about that. I don't think they're going to change the overworld situation. I think they're going to stay with the non-random encounters where you see the enemies in the field, which is unfortunate. I think that's going to remove the sliding encounter meter that we had in the first two games, which I loved. But I do think they might change the combat and the way the turns are ordered, because I really think it doesn't work, and it just kind of eliminates a lot of the effectiveness of defaulting. David, what were your kind of first impressions about the demo?
Yeah, it's pretty close to what you guys are thinking. Like, initially it felt like a Bravely game. It felt like doing the job classes and doing the combat was pretty good. I totally agree with you that threw me for a loop, that I would choose one person and then it would go through like a timeline of enemies and other until they got to like the next person, which doesn't like it doesn't feel like that. I don't know. I don't like it either. I hope that it seems like an easy fix to just go back to the everybody selects one, like you select the combat for each person and then it just kind of plays out, because at the end of the, like, it really isn't that far off. Because even in Bravely Default, like you'd choose all the actions, but like your four people wouldn't necessarily be the first ones attacking. Like there would be some difference between like maybe an enemy goes first, or you know, ring a bell goes first, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't always just in order. So the fact that they've got it split up this way doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Like, you know, we're used to that style. Just go back to it.
I mean, it takes a strategy out of it, right? Like I agree with you. I think it should be an easy fix. I think it really eliminates the strategic combat that made Bravely Default and Bravely Second really fun. Like I'm going to have my first character, it's Tiz, I'm going to have him do four attacks, okay? Then I'm going to have Agnes do a healing spell, because Tiz is going to be maybe weakened because he's going so offensive, right? And I can have Ringabel do black magic, I can have Idea do, I don't know, she can default or something. Like they can all do a different thing connected to one another. But in this one, because you don't know who is going when, unless I'm crazy, like there's no a timeline indicator for when a person's going to go next, right? Like it's not just hidden in the menus, is it?
I don't believe so. But if they did, now let's say instead of changing the battle system back to what it was, they added just a very noticeable timeline. Would that change your opinion on, you know, obviously I'd imagine you'd still prefer the old style, but would that be something that would like help alleviate that, and where it sort of still adds the sort of, you know, tactical sort of strategic, you know, approach to it, if you sort of know at least when you're going to be attacking and when the enemy is going to be attacking? So maybe you could, you know, focus one enemy over the other.
Oh, it helps. And you know what, Casey, I think that's a very possible way that they're going to go with this too. Even though, David, I agree with you, I think it is an easy fix to go back to the original. I think for some reason they don't want that exactly the same as the original. They seem to want to go in their own direction a little bit. But yeah, you got to at least have a timeline. You have to know who's going next. Like, we've had games from the PlayStation 1 era that have had that system in place. Like, this isn't a hard thing to do. Yeah, exactly. There's a handful of games like that, really a long time ago. So why not be transparent about that?
Well, and if they do leave it the way it is, but put a timeline in, then they're really kind of doing. I was gonna say it was closer to Scarlet Grace, but even Scarlet Grace, you choose everything at the beginning. Like you see the timeline of when everyone will attack, and you choose the attacks like before the actual like phase goes through, which again is my preference. So I really hope they just go back to where you can, like, if they want to put the timeline in, that's fine. But I feel like it's just kind of like, I guess maybe they're looking for something more modern, but it just seems like they lost some of its the uniqueness or the bravely feeling or whatever by going to this more randomized.
Yeah,
it just feels hectic. It doesn't feel like organized. It feels like it's just chaos. Yeah. It's just madness. And you combine, I think a lot of people got frustrated because you combine that kind of madness of the turn orders and uncertainty about who's going when with the really, really hard difficulty of the demo. And I imagine a lot of people got turned off by that. Like, and probably didn't even want to finish the demo because it really doesn't. You know, if it were the same combat system, but the hard difficulty, I think people would figure it out a little bit more easily. But because of the those two kind of changes or features kind of coinciding with one another, I think it's really a lot to adjust to, whether you've played the old games or not.
Yeah, I have a feeling they just wanted to differentiate, you know, like, let's take this in a new direction and, you know, try and spice it up a little bit. But maybe that's why they made the demo, right? Where it was like, we sort of want to, you know, switch this up. We do understand it is different than, you know, what people are used to. Let's see if they like it. And if it's not something they're into, maybe they could reel it back, like you guys said before, ultimately the game's released.
Well, and I mean, it's not the same devs as the original Bravely and Bravely Second. Like, these are the devs that worked on the mobile games. So maybe because they didn't do the originals, they don't have that, you know, nostalgia or like it wasn't attachment. So this is like kind of their thing. But I mean, part of that too that bothers me is like I did dig the art style, like the storybook look to it was nice, but there was some mobile feeling to some of it that I didn't enjoy. The sprites for the enemies looked very. What you would see on a mobile game, like that kind of roundy polygonal look, like
Dragon Quest mobile, not quite, but
it's not that bad, but yeah
like it, yeah, not as bad, but it to me, like when I first saw the enemies, it just like, oh, this looks like something that I'd see on like a cell phone game. Like it I don't know. It didn't have the same feeling as the original. It just seemed off a little bit.
And there's that contrast against the characters that you're controlling, right? Which do look like the Bravely default characters.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what didn't make sense to me, because it was almost like they had two different teams. Like, one team working on the characters where it was like, no, we want to keep them the way they look from the previous games. And then it's like the mobile team where it's just like, yeah, just make the enemies like however you're used to or something, you know.
Can we have a fun bit of speculation here, David? So we've got it's the devs maybe worked on the mobile ports, or the I mean, we mentioned a couple of the mobile games on the last week's episode. Does this mean that the main team is working on, dare I say, and Casey will back me up on this, Octopath Traveler 2, baby, let's go,
Yocho,
please. If that's the subtitle maybe. To it, that'd be so good. Octopath 2, the Ocho.
Yeah. But I have to agree with Casey, though. I think the best part of the demo was that finding out that Revo was back
and doing the music. Yes.
Because that was some good music. So, and yeah, there's a few little things that bother me, too. Like, when you're in the town or in the dungeon, the camera's fixed, but when you're out into the open world, the camera like rotates around. I found that kind of odd and irritating. At the beginning when you go to do the wolf thing, like I'd start walking and all of a sudden like a mountain is in my way. So I'm like, oh, I gotta wrap the camera around here so I can see where my character is. And while I'm doing that, I'm like getting ganged up on by the enemies, and it just I don't know. It felt weird because it's like why are we going from fixed to open to fixed? Like, every time I step into a new spot, it changes the camera dynamic. Like, just leave it fixed. Like, it was fixed in the original. Like, that's good enough for me. Just leave it fixed all the time.
Yeah. I was going to say, the dungeon area was a little barren as well. Now, if I remember correctly, and it's been a hot minute since I've played, you know, the Bravely games, but pretty similar, right? Like, there's usually not, like, a crazy amount, you know, there are corridors, there's some, you know, little knickknacks to find around the area. But I was hoping maybe, you know, making the leap to the Switch, maybe, like, the dungeons would be a little bit more, you know, more than just a bunch of corridors connecting, you know. Not that I'm, like, totally against it, you know, but I thought maybe they'd... And it's, obviously, it's only the demo, so, you know, it might not be a great indication of what, like, a full dungeon in the game might be.
Yeah, like, not much to explore, and it all looked the same. Like, every time you took a turn, the one wall looked the same as the other. I guess this kind of comes back to kind of my irritation with some of these 3DS, like, these 3DS games that are making their way onto Switch, where you kind of expected maybe more of a technological leap or more artistic leap to when they went from the 3DS to the Switch. But just like Pokemon, like, it's not that
they're not that yeah they're much not putting of a jump the time really in.
No, like, it's I mean, like, I'm not expecting like Breath of the Wild or Final Fantasy style Bravely Default, but you know, maybe a little bit more design in the dungeons would be nice.
So here's the thing. We praised Bravely Default and Bravely Second for how well they used the 3DS and how well they kind of featured all the different things that the 3DS could do. They took advantage of those things and made them meaningful, right? In making the jump to Switch, we don't see that same level of maybe, I don't know, development or attachment or kind of just trying to show off all the things that a Switch can do. Like, I think losing the two screens, I think, hurts a lot. I think they're struggling with that change. It's almost like, yeah, you've got the HD, but you lose a lot of the special things that the 3DS had, right? Like, I think they're maybe really struggling with that, and hopefully the feedback they get can kind of put them back on track. But it was a game that really did so much with what the 3DS hardware offered. Now, how do you take the Switch and do something similar? I don't know. I the Switch seems, other than just going from dock to handheld, it's much more of a typical home console, right? Like, it's not like the 3DS with all these different things going on. So, yeah, I want to know, you know, how are they taking advantage of online? Could there be amiibo functionality or some kind of NFC functionality? I don't know. We're not seeing anything of that yet, but maybe down the line they'll announce things like that. We'll see.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they had some kind of, you know, surprise that they were just kind of holding back, like you said, taking advantage of the hardware they're using, like, in some capacity. Because really, like, I totally agree. They tried to get everything they could out of the 3DS, and it'd be a bit disappointing if they didn't put the same effort into the Switch version.
Yeah, for sure. And it just seems almost like an up-resed version of what we know, you know, which is cool. But like you said, you sort of wish they would, you know, sort of redirect some of that, you know, energy towards, yeah, like, and with the Switch, like you said, it's not so much, I think, you could necessarily features-wise, you know, because, like you said, it's sort of switching back and forth from handheld to docked. Obviously, you could probably have some fun, clever ideas with that and say, like, a minigame collection, you know, but in an RPG, it feels so gimmicky if there was some sort of weird, oh, you got to pull the Switch out, you know? But I just think they could have put a little more detail. Like David said, it almost just was sort of like, all right, we've got a template for a straight line, a curve, and you know, and then you know, the stairs, and like, oh, they just sort of like blocked them together, and like, that was that, you know. And
well, and it's funny too, because look at the contrast between like going into a town and going into a dungeon. Like, the town is this beautiful, like, you got in this town in particular, like, there was the water flowing under the bridges, and you got all these houses that you could go into, and then you go into the dungeon as well, there's some sand and some rocks.
Yeah, and I wonder if it is, again, this was like, oh, let's just throw this this sort of area together for the demo. Like, the town will be in the final game, but, you know, this area that we were exploring, maybe it's not fully fleshed out or not. But at the same token, I would just argue, like, well, you are still putting on, like, sure, it's a demo for feedback, but it's still, you know, the first thing people are going to be seeing and will ultimately be a factor in whether they're going to buy the game. So I can't imagine, you know, it's just like some, like, oh, this is just a crappy dungeon, you know, like it might just be what the dungeon sort of consists of.
See, this is why I think they're going to do the same thing they did with Octopath. I think there's going to be another demo closer to launch that shows off some of the changes they've made based on feedback. I don't think this is going to be like, this is the one thing you see or play of Bravely Default 2, and oh, the game's out in November. I don't think it's going to be something like that. I got to believe that if they get all this kind of constructive and negative feedback about the game, they can't, that kind of generates like a negative momentum, right? You're gonna have all these people that kind of end the game turned off by it, and you need to give people a chance to see that you've made meaningful improvements. So I don't know if that's like a Bravely Default 2 direct, which I think is possible, because it seems like Nintendo might be publishing this one. Do you guys remember if we saw anything about that?
Yeah. So, Nintendo's listed themselves as the publisher.
So very possible that we see this game come back in a direct. They show off some of the new changes that have been made, or it gets its own direct if it's not part of a general one or something. Like I said, I think very possible we get another demo of the game that maybe is a different part of the game. Probably the beginning with a little bit of carryover. Although we've seen a lot of demos doing that lately, where Dragon Quest XI was a recent one where you could play like the first 2 to 3 hours of the game and all of that would carry over to the main game. I could see them doing something similar like that, but I think they do have a little bit of a way to go. I think that I want to buy this game, I want to play it, but I'm not as sold on it as I might have been maybe before the demo. And again, I'm not alone. I think we all have similar kind of reservations about the game. So if they want to win some of those people that are now on the fence that maybe were not on the fence before, they got to show us that they're willing to kind of make some of the changes we're hoping to see.
I will say, though, who are you kidding, Jordan? You're getting this game no matter what.
I am, Casey. That doesn't mean I'm going to be happy about it, right? I want to buy this to be like, oh man, I can't wait to get home and play this. Like I'm not going to take this out of my Switch. I want to pre-order as soon as it goes live. Versus like, I'll wait and see if I come in a pre-order deal. Maybe I'll trade in some games to get it. You know, I'm a little bit. You're gonna play it, sure, but you want to feel good about that purchase.
Oh,
you know?
I know. I'm just busting your chops. Yeah. We're slaves to the RPGs here.
Oh yeah, I mean it's a costly year for all of us because of that. So,
well, speaking of the more RPGs, we've got a second demo that we're going to talk about tonight, which is much different, really.
Yes.
In a lot of ways. So the second one we'll talk about is The Legend of Heroes: Trails of Cold Steel 3. So this one is much different. So this is not a new game at all. This is a port of a 2017 PS4 game. So it's been out for a few years now, and it's actually been on PS4 for a year as well. So we're kind of NIS America a little late to the party, unfortunately. But I know a lot of people are happy to see it. And this is. So this is more, I guess it would just be more to give people a taste of what's to come, because this was, seemingly, it was like the first 90 minutes or so of the beginning of the game. So they're not really, you know, there won't be no feedback. This is what you see is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
So my initial impressions on this is it's like I enjoy Legend of Heroes. Like, we just finished a playthrough of Trails in the Sky. So it's kind of got me high on the series itself, and this demo actually had like the kind of general feeling you get is very similar to Trails in the Sky. Like, that it has the Orbament battle system. It was, because we're starting off, like, this is the third in a trilogy, I think there's an expectation that you kind of have an idea of what the battle system is like. And having not played one before, I had no idea what this, like, obviously there was like two pairs of characters that were linked together in some ways, and getting into the battles, there was different ways of chaining together attacks and stuff like that. But other than those assumptions, I really had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, dude, they really just throw you right into the deep end and say, good luck.
Yeah, yeah. I think, I mean, my biggest takeaway for me is NIS America is trying to convince us that this is a great starting off point for the series, and having played the demo, I came away with the opposite feeling that I just felt like maybe I need to play the first and second before really getting into the third.
Yeah, I have not played the series at all, so this was, you know, a brand new experience for me jumping in. Like you said, yeah, so the way the demo works is you sort of get right into like some story stuff, you're battling, all right, you know, and then all of a sudden you sort of run into like a I guess a boss battle of sorts, and you battle it out, and then all of a sudden then you get to like the title screen. And then that's where I stopped. And then I know Jordan said it's got like another 45 minutes or an hour or something after that. And yeah, I mean, they, like I said, they just throw you in there having not really played the game. Yeah, you see that two of your four party members, you know, it's like there's four party members. You got two are linked and the other two are linked. And I, you know, ran into like follow-up attacks, and they could like sort of battle off each other, but I didn't really know how to actually, you know, trigger that, you know what I mean?
Take advantage of it.
Yeah. So like, yeah, whenever I got one, I was like, oh yeah, baby, let's deal out that extra damage. But then like half the time I was like, oh, I was hoping that, you know, I did something in the right order that I'd get a follow-up attack. But yeah, I mean, and I think Jordan said after that part that it sort of goes into the tutorial, right? So it sort of seems a little counterintuitive. You'd think the tutorial would be before the title screen, and then you'd sort of be like, all right, out, you know, get at it, you know? But
yeah, it's a weird structure where you meet this group of characters, and you end up fighting like what seems to be like a mid-game or a higher level battle. And then you do the flashback to 3 months, 3 months previously, and it's what seems to be like the beginning of the game. So yeah, the prologue has a funny structure to it, and I think, David, where a lot of your kind of feeling about you can't skip the first two games is because the demo almost tells you that, just with the way it starts you off kind of in the middle of this war, in the middle of these events, with a higher level set of characters, right, who all seem to know each other and have these higher level abilities. And if you haven't played the first two, you could really be lost in the combat system, I think. And then it's funny because after that first 30 minutes and you get to an initial credit screen or a title screen, after this little cutscene, and then it starts you off with a basic tutorial, like running into enemies, like basic spells, basic attacks, and you know, basic chains and stuff like that. So you kind of learn the smaller, intricate details of the combat after you've already participated in some very high level battles. So it is a funny way to do that, I think. It didn't sour my initial impressions. I think what happened was I had played the first Cold Steel game probably a couple years ago. I played it on Vita. About a month ago, I picked up the second game for PS3. I'm hoping to get through that before I end up playing this third game. I really like this world. I like the characters. I like how there are so many characters that all have their own different personalities, and you're going to get to know them. I think you can form kind of relationships with them as well. I like the way that they kind of intermix politics and war with more lighthearted kind of dialogue and conversations with characters. It does a good job of kind of balancing the more serious with the lighthearted and the charming, the whimsical. So this is a game I'm excited for. And I think the demo kind of rekindled my excitement in the series. I'm going to try to go back and play a little bit of the first game and then try to finish the second one. I'm sure you guys will notice on the title screen of the demo, when you first open it up, there's a segment, I don't know what it's called, but you can go back and like check out the history of the first two games, and you can learn about the characters and the major events and the different factions that are involved in the first two games. So it has a built-in mechanism for helping people catch up. The problem with that mechanism is it's very, very text heavy. I can't remember if the dialogue is read to you, but it's not, I don't think there's a lot of like visuals to it. It's either reading or listening to dialogue about the history of the first two games and kind of catching up all the things that you've missed. It's kind of like if you're watching a TV show and they do that previously on, you know, this show, they kind of have that thing with the first two games in this third one. So there is a built-in way to catch up, but I don't know if that's going to be the best way to catch up. David, you're right. I think you want to go into this third one at least having played a little bit of the first two games, I think.
Well, especially after that title screen and they introduced like 40 characters.
Know, dude.
I'm like, oh my God, like what is
the
going on?
The introductions never ended.
And it's like, yeah, and there, and it was clear like that they knew, like they probably all know each other.
Yeah.
Like the way that, it played out beginning, it's like everyone was talking about everyone. The villains, like, obviously knew who all of the heroes were.
Yeah.
And, yeah, to see, like, 40 people introduced. And, like, none of the names particularly stood out to me. Like, they were pretty, like, it wasn't, like, Joe Smith or anything. But, like, the names didn't mean it. Like, there wasn't any memorable names. I barely remember. I think, like, the main character was, like, Rianne Schwarzenegger or something. I have a hard enough time keeping track of like that many names in a regular game, let alone like, okay, here we're going to throw you into the third one and, just kind of try to catch up as you go along. And so, yeah, it was rough for me. I was like, I got through the demo fine, but yeah. I just felt overwhelmed by like, okay, there's obviously a lot of backstory that I have no clue about.
Yeah, these games are known for that. They're known for throwing a lot of characters at you, both playable, NPCs, villains, and they're going to keep coming back. Like these games are long. I don't know how many hours. We should check howlongtobeat.com for this third game now that it's already out on PS4. But the first game is incredibly long. If you try to do everything in that game, it's probably, 60 to 80 hours or something like that. It has this the same thing, if I remember from the first game, of you're playing as Reen, but you're also playing as all these other students kind of in his class. And you're on a train, you're kind of visiting different cities in the province or the country or something like that, and completing different missions for every place that you go to. So there's this idea that seems to have come through, I don't know if it's in the second game as much, but of kind of riding trains, taking them to different parts of the country, solving different problems there, meeting different people. But there's a lot of characters that pop up in this demo that you might recognize if you've played Cold Steel games before, but characters you might recognize from a game that we talked about on this podcast recently that I was sick for, unfortunately, Trails in the Sky. There were some characters in this demo that were actually mentioned or seen in Trails in the Sky as well. So it's kind of a neat crossover you're seeing between the two universes or between the two game series, right?
75
hours. Yeah, I was just going to say, I did a...
Have fun with that.
Woo-wee!
Oh, God. 75 hours.
They're long. They're long. So, God help me with this, me trying to play through the first two games before I get to this third one.
Thankfully,
we're at home.
According to How Long to Beat, you only have, 111 and a half hours of gameplay.
Okay, so Casey, can you make me a schedule so I can figure out some way to fit that into my life right now? Because I need to set aside time starting now. I got to abandon my recent FF6 playthrough I just started.
Had to start like 3 weeks ago, bro.
Pretty much, yeah. Okay, so I'm skipping the first game. I'm going straight to the second one because I have finished the first Trails of Cold Steel game. I really enjoyed it, actually. It's very fun. All the characters are really different and unique and stand out, and you do kind of start to love and hate certain ones depending on your personality, and it seems like they're going for something similar with this game. The way the demo is constructed for the third game, that you meet this second class, and it's not even Reen's class. Reen is going to be a professor, right? Like, it's a new dynamic that he's gone from being a student, kind of maybe a lower classman, to graduating from this college where they're training to become soldiers, basically. And now he's kind of the professor leading the group. Like, I like the progression. I like seeing something like that happen. So I'm all in for this game now after the demo, actually. I didn't think I would be. I thought I'd just, the demo would be whatever, but it's definitely really heightened my interest in the game.
This is the last call for alcohol this evening. Drink up, drink up, drink up, and all
Well, that kind of takes us into the last call, where I was going to go over, like, how, after having played the demo, are we higher or lower on the excitement or even just the confirmation of, yes, I'm buying it, or maybe, you know, maybe I'm not. You know, has our interest grown or diminished since playing the demos? And maybe we'll start with Bravely Default, and Casey can kick it off.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I guess my anticipation is still pretty similar to where it was. I think, sort of like Jordan was saying, with these demos, they're putting this out there with the word of wanting feedback for a reason, right? They're not going to do this, you know, hear the feedback and just be like, well, screw those guys, they're wrong, you know? Like, clearly they wanted the input, so I could see them making some tweaks and getting a better product, you know, out at the end of the door, at the end of the day. So I'm still pumped. I love the series, the visuals. I mean, if nothing else, even if the game stinks, you know that soundtrack is going to be immaculate. So at least it'll be sounding really nice, and hopefully the gameplay and everything else follows suit.
And Jordan?
I gotta say, like, yes, Casey, I'm gonna get the game for sure, but I think my interest has diminished because I think a lot of the changes they've made go against what I liked in the previous games. I didn't really see anything that changed that I'm like, oh, I prefer this new way of doing it. Everything that changed, minor or more major, is something that I would not have changed, that I actually really preferred about those games compared to other RPGs. So I think the demos generally drum up interest. I think about Final Fantasy VII Remake, Dragon Quest XI, Trials of Mana. All of those games have, or all of those demos made me more interested in the games. This one, I don't know that it's the same type of demo. It's not the demo that comes out like a month or two before release just to give you a preview. This demo has an intention behind it. It has a purpose, right? I really do believe it's meant to improve the game. Like, it's almost like we're part of a focus group right now, right? And they're focus testing changes they've made to the game. And we'll see if they have enough time to fix these problems. And I think they are problems. I'm a little bit less interested in the game. I'm still going to get it. I hope that they change a lot of it based on the feedback. Even if they don't, I think I'm still going to enjoy it. But yeah, it's a little bit different feeling with this one.
Yeah, I guess I'd be at the same. I'm down on, for the same reasons that you are, Jordan, that a lot of the things that they changed, I'm not a fan of, and hope they end up changing it back. Where I end up coming in with the same amount of interest is because, like you said, because it's more of a give us your feedback type of demo, I feel semi-hopeful that some of these changes will be implemented, or they might go back to with a few things back to kind of the original, based on what I'm hearing anyway. As an overall interest drummer, I don't know if it had the effect that they were hoping for. I think they were kind of, like, with the Direct coming out and kind of being lackluster to begin with, not really announcing a whole lot, I think this was supposed to kind of be the headliner for the Direct. And when people got it in their hands, I think for all the reasons that we've talked about, I think generally speaking, it sounds like more people are down on the game itself than are high, or even glad that, you know, that we're still getting in 2020. It just seems like, from what I've seen on social media and that sort of thing, it seems like generally there was a bit of a deflation, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if you're listening right now, please let us know how you felt about these demos, especially Bravely Default 2. Like, did you walk away, like, happier? Or if you've never played a game, are you satisfied with what this game could be if they don't change anything, right? Like, it's tough for people that There's an audience who came away from playing the first two games and sees this third one and sees it's different now and they don't like that. But there's also going to be a lot of people that own a Switch and never owned a 3DS that are going to jump to the series for the first time, and maybe they like the way that this demo was presented. Maybe they like the encounters in the overworld. Maybe they want a more of a challenge in their RPG. They don't mind the turn order changes as well. I don't know. Like, I want to hear from people about this, but the what I saw on social media was largely the same sentiments we were expressing today.
Yeah, and I'll kick off. I can kick off the Trails of Cold Steel, because it had the unintended effect of I'm higher on the series and playing Trails of Cold Steel 3, but I think I might have been confirmed to just go ahead and play, like, start the series off on the PlayStation and just keep on going over there, as opposed to picking up the third one on Switch. Like, because as I mentioned earlier, it just felt like, it's like, okay, I like the universe. I definitely want to get into the series. But the fact that I'm going to have to go back and play I just feel like that kind of solidified the, you know, I'm not going to be able to just jump into this. I'm going to have to go back and at least play a bit of the first two to get a handle on what's happening, and just the fact that if I'm already picking up the titles on another platform, I might just keep on going over there.
Be cheaper too, probably.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, it's gonna be cheaper probably, even because after the Switch version comes out, I'm sure that the PlayStation version is gonna be on sale. And from what I've heard, the PlayStation looks and sounds better as well. So so the demo has the unintended consequence of getting me excited for the series, but maybe not on Switch.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up, because this is something I'm going to complain about. I really wish that the first two games were brought to Switch before this game came out. Cold Steel 1 and 2, I think it might have been a double pack, was brought to PlayStation 4. So you can play all three games on PlayStation 4. Other than that, like, it's kind of divided up. Like, you can play Cold Steel 1 on Vita. I think you can play the second one on Vita 2 as well. I think you can play the first two games on PS3 as well. But then it's PS4, you can play all three of them. So it's kind of funny, like, if you might end up playing each entry in the series, which is probably what's going to happen to me. I'm going to play them on three different consoles. I'm going to play the first game on Vita. I'm going to play the second one on PS3. I'm going to play the third one on PS4 or Switch. I don't know yet, but I think it's a really interesting series. I think the demo has drummed up my interest, because it reminded me of how much I actually really enjoyed playing the first game in the series. So I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna see, you know, do I still have that kind of fondness for a really, really lengthy RPG in this world with these characters, or is it more just like I enjoyed kind of going in for a 90-minute demo, and maybe that's all I really needed. I don't know, but. I like Rean. I like the dynamic of him being the professor now as opposed to the student. I like how one thing that happens in the first game, which I imagine it looks like it's going to happen here too, is you get different parties. Like, you get different parties based on which students are with you. And they seem to set that up in the demo as well, that you see there's class 7, class 8, class 9. And at different times of the game, you're either combining those classes. These are just groups of students, right? You're combining them. And so you're playing with different party members at different times. And I really like that element, which is funny because it's the exact opposite of Bravely Default 2, where I think we can surmise, just like the first two games, you're going to have the same party of four for, you know, 30, 40, 50 hours, however long that game is. But in Cold Steel, these games are all about kind of different parties for different situations or different chapters in the game. So that's something I'm looking forward to as well, is you get a taste for some of the abilities and weapons of class 7, I think, in the first 30 minutes of the game, and then you play with a few different characters in Reen's group, class 9, in the second half of the demo. So it definitely has drummed up interest for me, this demo. I wasn't even really thinking about it. I wasn't expecting a demo. I was just kind of like, oh, you know, let's see how things get closer to launch. But now I'm actively looking forward to this game.
Just one note. I thought I'd just double check to see. So the first Trail of Cold Steels, like you said, is on PS4. There's a remastered edition that's on PS4.
Yeah.
Trails of Cold Steel 2 is on PS Store, and it's about like half of retail, I guess.
Okay.
Like it's
like $30, yeah.
Yeah, Trails of Cold Steel 3, the digital deluxe edition, is currently on sale 30% off right now on the PS Store for the month of April.
Buy it up, boys.
Let's go.
That might be it for me. That might be getting that one.
I've never really had any experience with the series, so coming in, you know, pretty blank slate, like, didn't do any research, you know, to see what it was about, just went in, and I definitely liked it. I mean, I need to get through the tutorial part to get the intricacies of actually how things work, but it seems like it definitely has the potential to be a super fun game. Like I said, it is definitely seems a little daunting from the aspect of coming in new, where it's like, yeah, it seems like these characters have relationships, and you, as the player, you've seen them sort of bud, you know, but coming in the third entry, it's sort of like, oh, you know, you're missing the groundwork for all that. So it might be a little weird, but yeah, I mean, I guess I'm definitely more interested in it than I was beforehand, considering I didn't really have any interest at all, so.
Yeah, Casey, I think you'd really benefit from going back to the first game and just seeing what it's all about and kind of like learning about the world and the characters from the beginning. I think it is, David, you nailed it when you said like it's very hard to kind of jump into this game, I think. And even just learning about the history, learning about the characters by reading about it or by watching a cutscene or something or watching a video, that I don't think is going to help. I think you really do want to, you know, sink your teeth into this kind of series. It seems to be they're really rewarding you in this third game for having played the previous two and knowing the stories, knowing the events, knowing the characters. I think you're really going to, it really would improve a person's enjoyment if they had all that backstory coming in, but not just the backstory, the experience with those characters. Like you've already formed relationships with them. Look where they are now. Look how much they've grown. I think people will really benefit from that.
Well, for $100 Canadian, you can get all three.
And
on
about
PS4.
150 hours.
I mean, that's honestly, right. David, that's not even a bad deal. I think it's a lot of quality RPG for the money you're getting there. So yeah, if they're on sale, it's probably a good time to jump in. And if you want to wait for the Switch version, like maybe play the other two games on PS4, and by the time you finish those, you'll probably be right around the Switch launch time, right?
Well, we finally did it. We said we were going to be just slightly over an hour, and I think this is the first time we've actually stuck to those guns.
So what you're saying is we need to talk about demos every week.
I was going
to
say, it's like a demo episode.
Rather than full games.
You don't get the full episode, you just get the first hour or so.
That's right.
Just get a taste of the beach, that's it.
Yeah, so send us your feedback about how bad our battle system is and how bad our menus are. And
I actually got that email today myself, too, so
yeah.
I'm going to have to see how many characters I got.
I suspect
my public service.
I suspect it's based on when you downloaded the game. Maybe it's like in fact, it would almost be exactly a week since the direct happened, right? So if you downloaded or played it last Thursday or Friday, we're recording on Friday the 3rd, then yeah, it's just about a week since a lot of people have played it or downloaded it. So
yeah, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So I want to thank everybody for listening. I hope you enjoyed listening to us talk about some demos for upcoming games, I think, that we're, you know, genuinely excited about, looking forward to. It is definitely a great year for RPGs. These are another two big heavy hitters that are coming out soon, at least Trails 3 coming to Switch. Wee. And and then Bravely Default 2, man. Like, I still very high hopes for that game. You know, Casey and I will be there day one for sure. And we'll definitely be talking about the game on the podcast too. I want to thank Casey for joining us. Casey, where can people find you if they want to hit you up or hear more of your wonderful
my
banter?
Ramblings and Wingstop talk.
That's it.
Yeah, check out weekly podcast, Talk Nintendo podcast, on all your podcatch catchers and all those services, whatever you want to call them. And we're on Twitter, Talk Nintendo Pod. That is Talk Nintendo POD. Boom.
Very good. I know some people were expecting, because I always overpromise things, that we were going to talk about Gargoyle's Quest, a 3DS virtual console, a Game Boy game. Pretty old one, but a good one. We were going to talk about that this week, but we've pushed it to next week. So you'll be able to hear me, David, Casey, and Perry, another kind of team-up episode with Talk Nintendo Podcast. Next week, we'll be talking about Gargoyle's Quest. So you still got a week to play that. If you haven't yet, again, it's on 3DS Virtual Console. It's like $3 or $4, so you don't have too much of an excuse to not pick that one up if you're
interested.
The
barrier for entry, pretty low.
Very much so. And you know what? It even if it's some segments of the game can be difficult, hey, you've got save state. So just save scum your way through. You know, it happens to the best of us. So just go for it. If you, if you've got feedback for us, you want to leave us comments, please hit us up on Twitter at The Thirsty Mage. If you would like to send us some suggestions for future episodes or give some comments, feedback, you can email David, david@thethirstymage.com, or myself, jordan@thethirstymage.com. We would love if you could leave us a review on iTunes or whatever podcast app you're using. 5-star review, comments, feedback. We love hearing that. It increases visibility, so that'd be awesome. You can find me on Twitter at wristman64. I'd love to chat with you about games that I'm reviewing right now or RPGs you're playing. You know, let us know what's going on. David is at Filtered Gamer. You can hit him up on Twitter as well. I think that's everything, David. How did I do?
Sounds good to me.
Very good. All right. So, you know, just a friendly reminder, you know, wash your hands, guys. Stay safe. I hope everyone's doing okay out there. We'll try to keep bringing you that high-quality entertainment every week on the Thirsty Mage podcast. Got a lot of cool games we're going to be talking about soon. Lots of awesome RPGs coming this year, and we're going to be talking about all of them. So, hope everyone enjoyed the episode. Check out these demos if you haven't already. They're pretty meaty, right? Like, you know, the Bravely Default demo, you could spend, you know, 5 hours on that game if you want to. There's a couple of super bosses hidden away after you kind of get through the story stuff, so check it out. And then Trails 3, absolutely pretty easy, pretty accessible too. But yeah, that's everything we've got for this week. Hope everybody's okay, stay safe, be careful, all that good stuff, and we'll come at you again next week. Thank you, everybody.
Have a good night.
We love you.
Casey loves you. Bye.